Get ready for this statistic. Every day in Australia, 145 people go missing. So right now, today, 145 people are going to go missing. Yesterday that happened, and tomorrow will happen as well. Every single day. And sadly, many of them continue to remain missing long term. In fact, there are more than 2,500 people in that category at this point. It causes unspeakable heartache for family and friends of those, and the reason that this week is National Missing Persons Week is so important. The Missing Persons Advocacy Network has just launched a new therapeutic tool to help families of people who are missing. Lauren O'Keefe is the founder and the CEO of the Missing Persons Advocacy Network. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us this morning. When you hear that statistic, 145 go missing, now, they aren't necessarily missing permanently. They can be eventually found, but it causes a lot of distress for a lot of family.
Oh, that's right. I mean, thankfully in Australia, the overwhelming majority are found safe and well quickly, but every year we still have around 400 that will go on to become long-term missing. And for each of those, we know that at least 12 people are directly impacted, whether it be financially, emotionally, and or psychologically. So there's a lot of people out there who are living with a very unique type of trauma.
When you hear missing, I think most of us would automatically think foul play, something's happened to them, but there's a various different reasons why people go missing, isn't there?
Indeed, and actually in Australia, again, thankfully, it's only a small fraction of cases that do pertain to crime. It's around 1% to 2%, whereas the overwhelming majority do relate to mental health issues. So 85% of the time, it's a case that someone's disappeared due to a mental health incident.
Really?
Yes. And that's why we're not so surprised to learn that just in the last 3 years, there's been a more than 30% increase in reports to police in Australia. Since the pandemic, we're now at 53,000 Australians being reported missing every year, when it used to be sort of hovering at the high 30s, low 40,000s. So there's been a significant increase, and that's undoubtedly due to the impact of COVID and the way it's affected people's mental health.
Really? So in what sense? Like, just give us a little bit more detail on that.
Well, we already know that the landscape in Australia of missingness is very heavily skewed to mental health issues. And so with, you know, lockdowns and border closures and the uncertainty of not knowing whether or not you're still going to have a job next week, not knowing if you're going to be able to, you know, see your loved ones, the toll that's taken on Australians evidently has, you know, there's been a correlation between that and the huge spike in reports of missingness to Australian police.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? So your organisation, Missing Persons Advocacy Network, what's your role?
So I founded MPAN in response to our own situation. My brother went missing in 2011, and it wasn't like the TV shows. There was no room of police that were ready to go with, you know, choppers and drones and dogs. We had no support from the police at all, and so the public were the ones that we reached out to, and the response was unprecedented. So other people started asking me for advice. And so in 2013, I founded this charity to really make the issue of missing persons more digestible for the public by humanising missing loved ones and providing support, both practical and emotional support, to their families and friends.
Because what is available when it comes to somebody missing? What is that process, and what is it the police can do to help find somebody? What is there a limit to what they do?
Oh, absolutely. Police resources are very limited. And I think that that's part of the problem, is that, you know, when your loved one disappears, you think the only sort of reference you have is what you've seen in popular culture, in TV shows and in movies. And when you realise how unrealistic that is, it's absolutely crushing, because police, you know, they've got a lot on their plates as it is. Going missing isn't a crime. So, you know, there's not really a lot for them to be able to do, unless it is, you know, that 1% to 2% of cases that are obviously criminal from the outset. And so families feel really lost, and they, you know, nowadays at least we have platforms like social media to reach out to the public. But once you've exhausted every avenue of search and you still don't have answers, there's a really overwhelming sense of hopelessness and helplessness. And the type of grief that families and friends are living with is called ambiguous loss. So it's very different to standard grief, where there's a clear ending, there's a clear loss, whether it be like bereavement, for example, where over time you're able to process that and sort of, you know, it gets easier to cope with, and there's standard grief counselling available. For ambiguous loss, there isn't. You know, there are very, very few counsellors in Australia who are trained in ambiguous loss.
Right.
And so living with that is extremely isolating, and that's what we've been trying to address with this this latest initiative.
Tell us about that. What's this world first therapeutic tool that you've got? How does it work?
Yeah, so like with any sort of unique trauma, there's a lot of healing that can be done in knowing that you're not alone. And there was a really brilliant Melbourne-based psychologist that told me many years ago that words are the digestive juices of the mind. And that really stuck with me. So we've created this world-first tangible therapeutic tool to help the families and friends of missing people really navigate and process ambiguous loss and that sort of constant oscillation between hopefulness and hopelessness. So the hope narratives are a really beautiful set of cards that are based on over 500 collective years of lived experience from 44 loved ones from 8 different countries. So people are able to sort of sit down with these cards and put a series of statements together in either the comfort and the privacy of their own home or to complement traditional therapy, and build their own hope narrative that pertains to their own individual lived experience, which ultimately allows them to validate and articulate what can feel impossible to describe. And in doing so, know that they're not alone in these very unique and complex feelings and thoughts. You know, there are other people out there who understand them, and there's a lot of solace that comes of that.
You're launching this at the moment. Have you had it, like, have you had people using it, and what's been their response to it?
So we've just launched it this week, and we've already sent out about 60 sets domestically and overseas as well. But the reports from a few that have received them already have been overwhelming, very emotional to be able to sit down and see that, you know, I myself remember feeling so lonely and thinking there's not anyone else on the planet who understands what I'm feeling right now. And yet I was constantly asked, especially by journalists, you know, how does it feel to not know where your brother is? And it's impossible to describe that. And like I said, you know, words are the digestive juices of the mind. So people do need to be able to say it or read it and see that, you know, they are not the only one feeling this very unique way. There are others who have survived the agony of not knowing, and therefore they can too.
Your brother, have you had any news on your brother at all?
Yes, so we did have resolution about 6 years ago. His remains were found, and so now our family, you know, in many ways is fortunate to know, because I work with about 75 families around Australia who are still stuck in the not knowing, and I know that the torment of not knowing, so we do feel very fortunate to no longer be there.
I can't imagine what it would be like to know someone's missing and not be able to get the help, particularly when the police say there's no crime that they can tell has happened or anything. I can't even imagine what that would be like. It'd just be the worst feeling in the world, I'd imagine.
It is. It's completely overwhelming. Instantaneously, you feel like, you know, you've got to don several different hats. You've got to become a media spokesperson. You've got to recruit volunteers. You've got to become a detective. You know, think about every possible scenario. You've got to follow up leads. It's really, really taxing, and families need so much support in such a variety of ways that it's really, you know, crucial that we have an opportunity like National Missing Persons Week to not only raise awareness for our missing loved ones, but also the really complex and unique emotional and practical challenges that their families face, because, you know, it is obviously emotionally and psychologically really traumatizing and heavy, but then on top of that there's administrative obstacles that they face, a whole lot of paperwork that gets very complicated when you don't have that clear, you know, whether or not knowing if they're alive or they're not alive. So there are lots of ramifications that we really need the public to just be aware of and be mindful of, and to recognize that this is a community of people that deserves our empathy and compassion.
And like you said, it's not, Missing Persons Week isn't just about people who go missing because of a crime. It's also because they just walk out the door and they don't return because they started life somewhere else or whatever it may be. This service is available for people like that as well who are in that situation?
Absolutely. Anyone who is living with the torment of not knowing where a loved one is able to come to our charity and see how we can help. I mean, we have very limited resources because we don't have any funding, and it's just myself and a couple of volunteers. But I am hopeful that in the next sort of 12 to 18 months, we might be able to get some government support or some corporate funder to help us grow, because, I mean, we've been able to achieve quite a lot in the last nearly 10 years, but if we had some actual funding, we'd be able to do a lot more.
But what you're doing is very, very powerful, and what needs to be done too. So thanks so much, Lauren, for your time this morning. Lauren O'Keefe there is CEO and founder of the Missing Persons Advocacy Network after her brother went missing in 2011, and he has been found since. But very, very distressing time for her family, I'm sure, and for many people who are looking for loved ones who have no idea where they've been, and the police are come to their end. They don't know where they are either, and a very distressing time for many people.